likes to touch himself. Dracula hates the Welsh. They're the two weirdest guys near ya. So come and bask in their power for about an hour. It's Atomic Disaster Theater. I remember 10 years ago in Hollywood, we did some good and we did some real bad stuff. But Count Dracula said, it's better to regret something you did than something you didn't do. Yeah, we were young and we were looking for Atomic Disaster Theater, episode 157. Hi, everybody. It's a very special day. It's a very special day here in the bomb shelter. It's March 21st, as we all know, as everybody out there knows. It's my birthday, y'all. And I hate birthdays. I hate birthdays not because of the whole getting old thing. I've been old since I was 25. That's fine. You lose youth. I've determined from the experiments I've conducted in my lab, I've come to a baseline conclusion that 25, you're old after when you hit 25, because nothing that's a quarter of a century old can be considered not old. Aren't cars classics after they've been out and about for 20 years? Though that seems kind of odd. So like a car from 2003 is a classic now? That seems satanic to me. But again, I'm old. So it's my birthday show. I don't care about getting old, because I've always had an old soul and an exceedingly old penis. But we're here. We're going to celebrate anyway. I feel chatty. You see, we haven't done a show in, I don't know, like 6 months, 8 months, who knows? I don't know. It's just an informal get together. It's just kind of like some old friends sitting around, you know, beating off, comparing notes, so to speak, sensual notes, you could say. But I'm not just here beating off slash comparing sensual notes all by my lonesome. Heavens to Betsy Nosies, what fun is that? Sitting directly to my left, looking the way he tends to from time to time, he is the man of the hour, the tower of power, he'll devour toddlers. He is the one, the only, the immortal Count Dracula. What it is, Count, what it is and what it will be, the floor is yours. Sweep it. I'm surprised I memorized that I remembered all of that, since it's been so long since we've done a show. This is just a little informal chat. This should be a point, whatever, but I'm too tired and I'm too filled with Dairy Queen to change things or do this properly. So hello, Count. It's been a while. You look majestic. I could see a couple of more laugh lines. I could see a couple more crow's feet. I could see them crow's feet should be wearing Nikes. They should have some nice Jordans on them. But you look good. You look potent. You look regal. You look slightly scoliosist in all the right ways. How you doing, buddy? Good evening. It's very nice to be here today, Dave. First, let me wish you a happy birthday. Oh, thank you, Count. I appreciate that. And you know, what's a birthday without a little bit of boozing. So we got a lot to get into. We got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of chit-chatting to do. We got a lot of drinking to do. Count, I got you a, I hope you don't mind. I picked up a couple of bottles for us. You know, got my trusty, some bottles of Coors Light. I got you some bottled O negative. Hope you don't mind. Took some liberties.
Oh, it's fine. It's very nice. It's a good springtime beverage. Good.
Cheers.
Cheers, Dave.
Excellent. And thank you for your birthday wishes. It must be quite a non-event for you, Count, to have birthdays, being that you are an immortal being and all that. Do you even celebrate birthdays? Because I don't really pay much mind to you here. Here and there.
Oh, well, after the first few centuries, it kind of becomes a non-event, sort of like a nothing burger over and over again with extra pickles.
I see. Okay, well, good. Yeah, I agree. I mean, birthdays aren't a big deal. Like, I'm 43 today. Whatever that means. I don't care because I'm dead inside. So whatev, you know, that's fine. Though I'm going to miss 42. I liked being 42 because I like Plant 42 from Resident Evil. It's an awesome name. It's a really super great name. Resident Evil 1, the original, I mean, Jesus, the boss names are fantastic. Like the giant snake, that's not too scary. You know what I mean? But it's called Yawn. Am I alone in thinking that's a horrifying name for any, like Yawn? Isn't it Y-A-W? It's just spelled Yawn. Like, I don't know if that's the sound you make when you yawn, but that's just what came out. I'm out of practice. You're going to have to forgive me. I got to stretch out a little bit, you know, find my wings. But Yawn to me, right? Or was it Y-A-U-N? No, that's like Yawn-T. That's like a D&D monster or something. All right, hold on. Let me get to the bottom of this. R-E-1. Giant snake. I think it's Y-A-W-N. Yawn. Yeah, Yawn. Y-A-W-N. I'm right. Of course. Question my fucking Resident Evil 1 knowledge. What's the matter with you? What, are you stupid or something? Yeah, come on. I was raised on this shit. All right, anyway. Yeah, that's scary. A snake named Yawn, you know? Because it's so unscary. I'm a big fan of scary things with unscary names. It makes it even more scary to me. Like, for example, wasn't Clay Guida in UFC? Wasn't he like the Carpenter? Wasn't that his name? Like the Carpenter? I'm going to go fight the Carpenter. That's horrifying to me. That's really scary because it's not scary. Scary, not scary. Sorry, not sorry. That type of thing. Like it just sounds more malevolent if it's not overly malevolent. Like if I was fighting, you know, Thomas, the blood dripping Skull King Smithy, I don't know. That's kind of over. You're trying too hard. You're trying to scare me, and that doesn't scare me. But if I'm fighting a guy they call the Carpenter, I'm horrified because I'm going to see Jesus, a fellow carpenter. They're in the same union, so I'm in a lot of trouble. You see, and that's scary to me. So Yawn, a giant snake named like, you know, whatever, King Dirtbag, or I don't know, but you know, a typical stupid snake name that sucks. And that doesn't scare me. Yawn, the giant snake. I peed a little bit just now thinking about that.
Great. Great, Dave. Secondly, why has it been so long since we've done a show? I haven't been paid in months, and I'm really fiending to get back. on the track.
You know, I can tell. I see you're all in a tizzy, Count. Your eyes are particularly bloodshot this evening. But, yeah, I don't know. I just, look, I'm lazy. I'm really lazy. You know, once we broke the record, once we broke, like, the streak, and we did more episodes than the last show, doing a weekly show, I just, look, I'm an old man. I'm just lazy. I just don't want to be bothered. I just want to hang out and do my thing. That's it. So I'm sorry.
But we're going to go back to doing them at least semi-regularly, aren't we? Please?
No. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. Who knows? I got a lot to talk. Just shut up. You're ruining everything. Well, you're not. I'm sorry. That was harsh. We got some stuff to talk about. I don't know how long this is going to be. We'll see. Well, I think I'm just going to talk until I fall down. We're gonna see. I'm sorry. I'm so distracted right now. I'm just filled with, oh my God. I've been on like a, I've just eaten whatever I wanted. I think I ate a child earlier. I don't remember. I woke up. There was a baby rattle on the floor and bones. I don't know what that means. I guess I'll figure it out later. I blacked out. I woke up. This is my life. We're going to see how this goes. This episode, warning, before we even start, before we even get it too much into this episode is going to be bad. It's going to be real, real bad, but it should be fun. I don't know. It's a celebration, right? We've already talked about Resident Evil 1. How bad could it be? Honestly. But to answer you, Count, I don't know, man. I got, you know, you look at me. You hold a ab-ridden alpha like this to a schedule, you can't do that. The Mustang runs free, dog. You can't put a leash on the big dog. You just can't do that. You know, it doesn't work. So we're going to see what happens. We're going to see where things go. We're going to sit down. We're going to talk. You're going to get paid. You know, obviously, I'm a fair employer. I like to think you get free room and board here just for being eye candy. So, you know, I think that's not a bad deal at the end of the day. And maybe, if you took a good long look in the mirror, you'd see the truth in that. If, of course, you cast any kind of reflection, which you do not. So it doesn't surprise me that you don't see things my way.
Do I get to do an Ask Dave?
No, man, we're loosey-goosey here today. We're just two bros, two chads, you know, hanging out, chest bumping, doing whatever. I'm sick. I'm probably going to throw up, like, any second now. Like, it's coming. I feel it. Coming. So we're just going to go until I get sick. That's how we roll. That's what we do. I got some stuff to talk about. All right, I've had this list for a really long time. We're just going to get right into it. I'm going to knock these out real quick. Let me see. Where's my little list of stuff? Oh, while I'm waiting for that to load up, this is crazy. I don't even know if I could talk about this. I got a little pre-birthday surprise just yesterday. It's kind of zany. I don't know can I even talk about it? Hold on, let me text my legal team real quick and talk about this. So yesterday, I got called for jury duty yesterday. I thought that was a myth. I didn't even know that existed. And I always heard if you don't vote, they don't put you on the list to be called for jury duty. And I've never voted in my life. I thought I was safe. So let that be a lesson to you, kids. You're never safe. You're never safe from your duty as an American citizen to participate in our legal things that we do. So I gotta, it's going to be the trial of the century, obviously. I mean, if the issue is so great that they had to come seek out my King Solomon-like wisdom, you know, it's a big deal. All right. You know, they need some good old fashioned biblical justice. And when you need biblical justice, you call Dave. That's just how it goes. So I got a thing just It's like a yellow postcard type thing. And I was like, you're being summoned for jury duty. So at the end of what, next month? Like the end of April, I got to like go in and they got to interview me and stuff. I mean, I should just set, I just give them the link to my podcast and then they'll just let me, they'll excuse me immediately because of, let's just say, my controversial views. But I am very upset about this because I don't want to be bothered. I thought I had a deal with the dark gods I pray to. Just let me be. I'm not going to bother anybody. I don't want anybody to bother me. If I'm not beating off, I'm at work. If I'm not at work, I'm asleep. That's all. Okay? I don't want any trouble. I don't want any problems. I don't want to have to go anywhere. I don't want to have to get out of bed. Unless it's absolutely necessary for me to survive. Oh God, I almost threw up. Okay. All right, it's coming. Hopefully we can get through the show before the end times of my insides. But all I want is a nice, quiet existence. That's all. At this point in my life, that's all one can ask for. And you know, you spend your youth, you thinking you're missing so much. You're not. Because I'll tell you a secret. In my 43 years on this planet, I've discovered something. Actually, I discovered this like around the time I was 8. But everybody's miserable. Nobody's happy. The people you see on Instagram who are showing you their boat and the new Bengal tiger they got for Christmas, they're miserable. Because if they were happy, they wouldn't feel the need to rub in your face how happy they were. You see? So here's the thing. There's a great saying, and people will use it, but I think it applies to just about everything in your life. People say, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Apply that to every single thing in your life, because no matter what decision you make, you're going to regret it eventually. See? If you go out and you spend a bunch of money and you have a wild time and you just give in to every excess you got rattling around inside you, you're going to regret it. Maybe not that day, but eventually. And if you spend your life sitting at home like me, doing nothing, asleep all the time, waking up on occasion to do a podcast, you're going to regret it. Maybe not that day. Well, if you're Dave, immediately. But at some point, you have a lizard brain inside you that tells you every single thing you do is wrong and you should have done something else. Regret. There is but one God in this reality. Thy name be regret. And no matter what you do, you have to fall to your knees and worship it at some point. So the best thing you can do is make the choices you're going to regret the least.
That's a very negative outlook to have, Dave.
Yeah. Look at me. Of course it is, Count. But I don't... It's not inherently negative. It's positive. It's like, look, man, whatever you do, you're going to think you made the wrong decision. That's okay. That's all right. Because I'll tell you, because there's no right decision. There's just levels of wrong decisions. Just find the least wrong to get you through. And every now and again, life will call you for jury duty. And when it does, maybe if you show up not wearing pants, they'll let you go home. I don't know. I'll have to examine my options and my wardrobe. But until that time comes, just keep on keeping on. Live life. Fight yawn. Or don't, because you don't have to. You could run past him in the first part. And just grab the half moon crest or whatever the fuck it's called, and then leave. You don't have to fire a shot in the first fight against a giant snake man if you don't want to.
Dave, are you excited that in a few days the Resident Evil 4 remake is coming out?
Excited? Count. Look at my erection. Can you see it throbbing? Can you hear the people singing the song that never ends, Count? That is my dick. Look at it. Please. But yes, to answer you, obviously. I'm very excited. Resident Evil 4, you know, Capcom gave me a little late birthday present. That's fine. You know, that's great. I get to go back to Spain and blow up my kinsmen once more. Actually, all right, we're going to go in. Excuse me. That was disgusting. I'm going to go to Ancestry. And I'm going to look up my DNA, because every time I check, it's different. So we're going to see what I am this week, and we're going to see what's doing. So let's go check out my DNA. We're going to read where I'm from today. Which is good, because I want more. See, because the more places I can trace my ancestry back to, that really opens up the range of racial remarks I can make, you know, and be like, oh, it's okay, I'm this or I'm that, so I can say things like that. So I want as much as humanly, I want to run the gamut. I'm still praying for Italy, you know, so I could make a lot more Irish racist jokes. But anyway, let's see what we got going. Your DNA looks most like DNA from these 18 world regions. 18, good. We can do more, but let's see what we are this week. Okay. Portugal, 25%. Indigenous Puerto Rico, 18%. Spain, 16%. So see, 16% of me is from Resident Evil 4. But, you know, Portugal's right there. They're what, Iberia, right? There used to be. It's the same. It's pretty much the same. Portugal, Spain, same fucking diff. So yeah. Basque, 7%. Basque creeping in there. Ireland, 6%. 5% Jewish. Mazel tov. Senegal, 4%. Senegal, such, I love that. I love the way that word sounds. Senegal. It just, I like it. It feels good in my mouth. England and Northwestern Europe, 4%. Cameroon, Congo, and Western Bantu peoples, 3%. Nigeria, 2%. Northern Africa, 2%. Sweden and Denmark, 2%. Where is that coming from? Ivory Coast and Ghana, 1%. Southern Bantu people, 1%. Indigenous Haiti and Dominican Republic. I think that's a new one, 1%. That just crept in there somewhere. Malta, 1%. France, 1%. And Wales, 1%. Oh, did you see the France, the beauty thing? Dracula?
I don't know what you mean.
There was a beauty pageant contest, and there were, it's so funny. All right, here, we'll do this, hold on. If you Google Miss France Scream, and then go to videos, and hit whatever. Oh, that's, I don't want to hit this TikTok thing, but I, all right, so like, it's a beauty pageant thing. So you have all these whores, and they're all like, allegedly they're whores. I'm sure they're lovely whores. But so they're all saying like where they're from. Right. So you have like, I don't know, it'll be like, if it was Dave, I'd be there for about 6 minutes, 'cause I have 27 different ethnicities coursing through my filthy veins. So out of all those places, all those regions that I just read you, those are who's responsible. So if you look at, let's just say, a curious man like myself, and you're wondering like what nations should be punished for creating such an ugly looking person, I just read you the list. So there you go. Do with that what you will. So anyway, there are these beauty pageant whores and they're all like saying what, screaming where they're from. And I think it was what, Ecuador? Yeah, like Ecuador was woof. Oh, woof. Yeah, all right. And then when they got to France, she just went like, France! Like she did like a French battle cry of surrender, obviously, because they would immediately, you know, immediately give up. I'm 1% French. I could say that. You can't. If you laughed at that, you should lose your job, and I'm going to kick you off Twitter. You've just been reported for laughing at that, unless you are French like myself. Monsieur Dave, as they say. But anyway, I'm going to play this. We're going to listen to this because it's quite funny. And I care about you. I want the best for you and your family. So we're going to sit and we're going to listen to this. Okay, here goes. That probably sounded bad because a lot of things. I just put the microphone up to my speakers and yeah, it probably sounded horrible, but it's funny. It's real funny. I suggest you go, you check that out. 1% of me. It's very patriotic to see that. But otherwise, crazy broad. She sounds nuts. But anyway, yeah. So she screamed France real loud in a crazy battle cry. I can only describe it as, but my curious DNA aside, we have so much to get to, so many wonderful things, so much hideous nonsense to talk about. So first, I'm just going to hit this list because it's been fucking crazy. All right. So this is old news, but that's all I deal in. I deal in old news. Apparently, there was like a 44 million or billion, I don't know, one or the other, some kind of cryptocurrency nonsense where like everybody got ripped off and everybody lost their money. And it was this weird looking guy. And of course he was rich for doing nothing. He was rich for bullshitting because that's all. Okay. I didn't mean to get so down in the mouth so soon, but holy shit, man. I'm happy that I was never born with the bullshitter gene, right? Because I was born with the gene that can detect the bullshitter gene. And it's the people I like the least on Earth. People who are obvious nonstop bullshitters make me sick in a way that I cannot properly describe. So when I read stories about like cryptocurrency where it's electric money of some kind and there's millions of dollars, billions of dollars wrapped up in this stuff that and nobody can seem to explain it. It's just this vague concept. You have billions and billions of dollars wrapped up in a nebulous, vague, kind of, sort of, maybe, probably thing that exists on the internet. It's a thing on the internet and the government can never get to it. The government can never touch your cryptocurrency. But doesn't the government control the internet? Can't the government just shut it off? Well, yeah, but blockchain. What's that? What do you mean? It's just blockchain. It makes the government go away. It just says, you know, that just solved my problem. When I go to sit tall before the man for jury duty and they're asking me questions, I will just hold up my hand and proudly proclaim blockchain. And they'll say, irradiated one, you're free to go. And then they'll do the sign of the cross on me and I will leave in peace. Of course, that's all people say. Nobody can explain it. What's blockchain? But it's a thing that makes it safe and the government can't do no nothing about it. Just blockchain. Just say blockchain. Walk up to a girl. Say blockchain. Immediate blowjob. Immediately. Like that. Blockchain, the key to everything. And apparently, everybody lost money. Because some weird guy with curly hair and like 8 girlfriends or something like that. Just a bullshitter. Just a fucking con man who billions of dollars just went away. Billions of dollars just vanished from Earth. And nobody knows where it went. And color me surprised because blockchain didn't help out too much. So good. I think that's great. Because if you fall for the bullshit and the obvious bullshitters who are so adept at weaving such bullshitulous tapestries, I'm sorry to say it, but you probably didn't deserve the money in the first place. Or you didn't say blockchain loud enough. I'll let you be the judge on how to live your life. But I thought that was kind of crazy. I know I'm late to the party. I was supposed to do a monologue on that like 1,000 years ago, but I never got around to it. It's just crazy. It's just nuts. I just don't get it. And like NFTs or whatever, just money and ideas that are, if you can't just explain to me easily what all this money is for, it's a scam. It's an immediate soprano scam. It's Webistics. Remember in, what was it, season 2, when they had this stock called Webistics, which, by the way, hilarious name just for anything. Like internet gobbledygook, like, oh, what do you do, Dave? Oh, I'm a coder. I code Webistics. Oh, wow. That's really nice. That's good. What does that mean? I don't know. It sounds good though. Yeah. Like you would never question it, because when somebody replies, it's all about confidence. Life is a fucking confidence game. The term con man, confidence man, that's all life is. And if you can look somebody dead in their eyes and spin a line of enviable fucking bullshit, my friend, the doors to life just open. Where for Dave, who is an honest man, an honest, good man, who believes that words mean things and that blockchain means nothing, that kind of searing, pure, 100% legitimate honesty puts its little grubby fingers on the windowsill and has said window slammed on top of it over and over and over again. So bullshitters, door opens wide. Honest Dave's, windows on fingers. But I never asked who gave the order. I said, this is the business we've chosen for ourselves. And I'll take my finger-licking good beatings with a smile on my face and a song in my heart, goddammit. Also, invest in Webistics. Just if you got some extra money laying around, you know, it's a good solid stock. Even growth, whatever that means. I have these charts that mean nothing, but, you know, they look nice.
Oh, Dave. Yes, Count. Did you see that the prop comedian Gallagher died a few months ago?
Yes, Count. Thank you. Good. Keeping up the relative theme of both this episode and my life with old news. Gallagher died. Yes, Gallagher did die. I love Gallagher. I do. There was he actually played the theater right down the street from me here in lovely Indianapolis some time ago. And I really wanted to go, but I couldn't because I was too busy blockchaining that particular day. And I couldn't attend. So that was a regret. I wish I could have went and saw that. That would have been something. I have good memories of Gallagher because I remember when I was really young and they used to play old Gallagher stand-up comedy specials on VH1. They would do marathons because he did an unbelievable amount of comedy specials during like the, I think it was the 70s and 80s. But then like during the 90s and stuff, they would replay him. They would do like marathons on VH1. And I remember they'd have the VH1 logo and the one would be like a Christmas tree. It just brings back like Christmas vacation memories for me. I don't care about Christmas. I don't really like Christmas, but I like being off for extended periods of time. I like just laying around and not having anything to do. Some might say it's my vice, but Yeah, so it brings back memories of like Christmas vacation for me, seeing like old Gallagher stand-up shows and stuff like that. So yeah, he died. I don't really have much to say. I have good memories. I like Gallagher. But I, you know, nothing scandalous. I think he was like an older guy or whatever. So he just actually, all right, let's go into this. Let's do some goddamn investigation count. All right. How did Gallagher die? Okay. Dead at 76. I mean, do you have to ask, right? Dead at 76. Oh, how did he die? Does it? I mean, I don't mean to sound cold, but does it matter? Like 76? Even if it was like he was hit by the Starship Enterprise, phaser blast on stun, close range, headshot. It's kind of like, well, he was 76. Hey, 76, you know, how much longer did he have? Anyway. All right. Gallagher, who became, according to the New York Times, the paper of record, by Mr. Douglas Martin, November 11th, 2022, Gallagher, who became one of the most recognizable comedians of the 1980s for an outrageous act that always concluded with him smashing a watermelon with a sledgehammer, died on Friday at his home in Palm Springs, California. He was 76. His death was confirmed by his longtime former manager, Craig Marquardo. Cool last name. I never seen that last name before. Marquardo, who said the cause was organ failure after numerous heart attacks over the course of Mr. Gallagher's life. Jeez. Yeah, numerous heart attacks. 76. Hey, man. What are you going to do? It's a good ride, I guess. 76. I mean, I'm going to be out of here in a couple of months, but hey, 76. It's a good jog if you could swing it. I don't know. So, yeah. That's all. I have nothing else to say about the topic. Go easy, my friend, into that long, long good night. And long may you reign in the aether realm. I don't know. So, I got a bunch of games to talk about. A bunch of video games. Again, this is all old. This is all old because that's just what I do. Count another course for the boys. Cheers, my friend. Cheers, Dave. So I got this game for Xbox. I got Evil West. And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, Dave, you really just don't care about money, do you? And no, not really, not particularly. Actually, I can't stand money. I love it. Obviously, it buys me tits and stuff. But, I mean, I don't like talking about money. Like, money stuff bothers me. I could never be one of those, like, super duper money, you know, wow, I'm all about stacking bills or whatever. It's just money. It's boring. It's stupid, which explains why, oh, I don't know, I'm so bad at it. But, yeah, Evil West. I know what you're saying. You're probably like, Dave, wow, that game sucks. You know, look, I knew what I was getting into when I bought Evil West. I bought it because, see, when I get a new video game system, it's like a painting. It's like a picture, see? And I'm trying to paint a picture using a lot of different colors. So I want my games to kind of hit all the gamuts, right? I would like, you know, maybe a sports game. I don't know anything about sports, but I'd like a sports game. I'd like a big open world type game. I'd like a shooting game. I'd like an action game, you know, stuff like that. A fighting game. So yeah, so I try to kind of make a collection of various things, so I could put more colors in my painting. You see, because I'm a very artistic man. So I got Evil West and I listened to a bunch of reviews on it, and none of them were wrong. Evil West is bad fun, if that makes sense. You're a cowboy, but you have all these like wacko steampunk weapons and shit, and you're part of this. It reminds me of The Order. I don't know if you remember this, and my review would kind of be the same for both games. The Order 1886 or something. It was like a PS4, like I think it was a launch title, if I remember correctly. You played as like a Victorian monster hunter guy. It's like Rippers, the role playing game, but in video game form, and you fought like these werewolf people. And the graphics were amazing in The Order, and the game was okay. I thought the story was pretty cool. I liked that the guys would drink from the like flask thing that would make them like live forever. You know, they were immortal. I mean, they weren't like they could still get their heads chopped off and shit, but they would live forever as long as they drank the shit. But yeah. So The Order had really good graphics. The combat, you just fought shit. It was just like fight. Just keep fighting. The graphics look really, really nice. And that's it. It was just kind of meh. I don't think it was a terrible game, but it was kind of bleh. And Evil West, kind of the same thing. So you play in this organization where you're fighting monsters, but instead of werewolves, you're fighting these vampire things. They call them ticks, which I really liked. I thought that was nice. And I think in Evil West, it's a shame because in Evil West, there's a lot of cool ideas. And if they just would have like executed it a little bit differently, I think it could have been something a lot better than this. Something a lot, I don't want to say deeper because that's kind of silly because we're talking about a game where cowboys running around shooting vampires. But you have like these kind of goofy, like steampunk looking weapons and gadgets and stuff like that. And I don't think it fits. I actually think I'd like the game more if it was more of a straight Western and got rid of all the funky, bulky, giant Warhammer 40K steampunk gizmos and stuff like that. I don't know. I think the game shines and is at its best the closer it kind of sticks to the Wild West theme. Because we don't really have anything like that. Well, actually, I guess I shouldn't say that because Red Dead Redemption 2. But I mean, that's sort of old, but more like an action-y game. I don't know. Evil West, I haven't beaten it yet. I will, but I'm so far behind on games. It's crazy. And then with Resident Evil 4 coming out, I'm just going to be busy for the foreseeable future. So if you think, you know, we went a while without doing episodes, just wait a couple of days until Resident Evil 4 comes out. Just don't bother me. Just leave me alone. I'm busy. I'm already busy. Don't call me. All the ladies out there, just, you know, I'm sorry. I know you just got to have it, but I'm going to be busy for the foreseeable future. I'm going back to my homeland. The 15% of my homeland in the majestic mountain ranges of Spain. I don't know if they have mountains in Spain, but that sounds good. Mounts. Conquistador, where in the shadow of the village where I was hatched all those years ago. But Evil West, you know, whatever. It's fun. You run around, you fight, you shoot stuff. A lot of things going on. I'm bad at it. I die nonstop all the time, all day, every day playing Evil West. Not really my sort of game. But it's fun. It's something. Something different. There is something that really bothers me, and it comes off as exceedingly lazy and exceedingly crappy. And I wish they didn't do it. So in Evil West, there'll be times where you'll be running around, and you'll get to like the next part of a level, and so you'll see a bunch of monsters and vampires and ghoulies and goblins and whatever, just kind of roaming around. So you have to jump over a log or something, and then you just start fighting everybody, right? Or there'll be like a platform, you jump down, and then you'll fight everything that's there. Now, this is what's irritating. So you'll get to like a ledge or something, and you'll be able to see all the things you're going to fight in 5 seconds. But I have guns, and I have rifles, and I have flamethrowers, and I have bombs or whatever. I got all this ranged. I have all these ranged weapons on me. Yet if I take out my rifle, like I want to just start sniping people that I can clearly see, it's literally I hop over this crate or whatever, and then I'm fighting a bunch of stuff. Yet the game will not let me shoot, even though they're in my line of sight. I can clearly see them, but I have to jump over this thing to be able to shoot them. That's just fucking lazy. If you're gonna pull crap like that, then just have it be whenever you get to a certain part in the map, the enemies just like come out of the ground or spawn there. But if I can fucking see you, if I can see monsters roaming around 20 feet away from me, and I'm somehow forbidden from shooting at them, that is utter lazy bullshit. And I don't think you deserve $70 if you can't even make that work. So it is what it is. I don't know. Would I recommend Evil West? No. But, you know, if you can find it cheap, who knows what cheap is these days when we're talking about video games. But I don't know. If you could find it used at a reasonable price, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of fun. It's just combat, really. And there's like this one girl, she's really ugly, but I think she's hot. I don't know. There's like this one, the one inventor girl with the glasses. I don't understand. My penis is strange. I don't know. I see her and I'm like, all right. Yeah. Okay. But that's me and my demented erection. My demented erection, we'll say, we'll call it. So Evil West, you know, and I doubt if I actually beat it that the ending is going to really change how I feel about it. It's just all right. It's kind of fun to run around and blow stuff up and shoot stuff. And the combat's pretty nice, but I don't like the off-screen. When you're playing an action game and there's people all around you, when the camera is that over-the-shoulder view and you just see attacks coming from off screen at all angles, there's something that feels unfair about that. And Evil West does that a lot. It's just chaos. There's just shit everywhere. And I'm old. My reflex, I'm old and slow. So I am just ultimate Grandpa Dave when I'm playing this game. That's all you hear. I'm sitting there. You just hear me mashing. Excuse me. You hear me mashing buttons. And I'm just saying, who's that? What's that? What? Who's hitting me? Who's it? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I meant to do that. Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, my. Yeah. Okay. Whatever, man. Yeah. All right. Fucking bullshit. It's pathetic. To hear me play video games is embarrassing because I am a whiny, whiny little pussy baby. It sucks. It's not masculine at all, the way I play video games. But yeah. So Evil West, you know. See, but here's the thing. I knew all this because I watched a bunch of reviews on it. So I knew exactly what to expect, and I got it anyway. So I think if you know what you're getting into, it helps kind of ease the blow or whatever. So Evil West, you know, it's, I don't know. It's what you make of it, I guess, / what you expect. So there's that. There is that right there. While we're on the video game track, let's just keep on going. Because I didn't beat Evil West because the Dead Space remake came out. Again, I'm old. I'm late to the party on this. But I did get it, like, relatively early after it came out. And then I played it, but, you know, we haven't talked about it. I haven't done an episode, so the Dead Space remake. I never played any of the original Dead Space games, but I've always heard that they're super great. I don't like scary games, Because I'm a pussy. All right? And you'll say, well, Dave, what are you talking about? You play Resident Evil and all that stuff. Yeah, but I wouldn't really call Resident Evil like scary games. Resident Evil's kind of, you know, it's always been a little bit on the campy side, which I enjoy, which I like. Probably part of the reason why I will always, always, always have such high fond memories of the very, very first Resident Evil was that that introduction. You know, my first, the intro to Resident Evil 1 using real actors, it just, you know, like you're watching a TV show and they're introducing the characters. I loved that. And then when 2 did their shitty ass, like computer animated introduction, that was a real punch to the sack for me, you know, and I don't know, I didn't like 2, but I don't want to get into it. Anyway, Dead Space. Never really got into it. Was never really my thing. Only heard glowing things about it. That's fine, whatever. So when the review came, or when the remake came out, I thought, that's great, because I will get, I don't have any preconceived notions about this game. I just know that a lot of people say it's quite good. That's awesome. That's neat. That's cool. We'll see how things go. So I got the Dead Space remake. And it's good. I enjoyed it. I played it through. I beat it. I started a new game plus and got a couple of chapters in that I haven't finished it a second time. I got the funky suit or whatever. And I'm going to try some different weapons because I use the plasma. I use a plasma cutter and the assault rifle. I didn't really think any of the other weapons were that interesting to me. I think maybe this time I'll try investing a little bit in the flamethrower and the force gun just to kind of change things up and see how that affects, you know, my enjoyment. I don't know. It's cool. It's all right. But look, I'll tell you something. I have some issues with Dead Space. First of all, this really doesn't appeal to me. And it's got nothing to do with the game. It's on a setting level. Because space is a tricky little boy for me when it comes to settings, video games, movies, whatever. Due to the general vastness of space-related stories, I have a very hard time getting invested on things, right? So in Dead Space, there are these monsters, necromorphs, alien, whatever, and it's like some religious cult that wants to bring them into the world or whatever. And, I don't know anything about this galaxy. I don't know anything about this world. I don't know anything about this ship. I don't know anything about the people on this ship, so I kind of don't care. So if it's like, oh, they're trying to summon the necromorphs, or they're trying to get the necromorphs to possess and infect the people on this world, and it'll be necromorph each all day, every day. So I don't care. It's a space game. There's thousands of inhabitable worlds. If one of them gets taken over by alien monster things, whatever. Go somewhere else. Like, when the scope is so broad, I just have a tendency not to care. That's why I will always prefer smaller scale stories, like, you know, like Marvel movies, Avengers, Infinity War, whatever, where there's a fate of the galaxy, and oh my god, and now it's the fate of the multiverse, realities at stake, blah, like that means absolutely nothing to me. Why don't we do a story where, like, you know, they stop a bank robbery or something, you know, like the smaller scale stories. That's why I always prefer like Batman type stories, you know what I mean? Where everything's kind of smaller stakes. There's none of this fucking nonsense going on where, you know, realities, multiple dimensions, moon, stars, quasar, big country booty, big country titty, booyah. It's too much. The big country booty's just too much sometimes, guys. How many times do I have to say it? Blockchain. Blockchain that shit off. So right off the, and again, that has nothing to do with the quality of the Dead Space remake, because I liked it. I enjoyed it. I had fun. I'm probably gonna finish another playthrough of it. Yeah, that's cool. But some issues I did have with it. Look, in Dead Space, you play as a guy named Isaac, and he's an engineer in outer space, okay? And him and his team are going to fix up this ship because, I don't know, the transmission's busted or the carburetor doesn't work or whatever. I don't know. Something's wrong with this ship in space. And that ship just happens to be the ship that Isaac's wife is stationed aboard, right? Isaac's wife is named Nicole, and Nicole is a doctor. And Nicole, for whatever reason, is 77 years old. I am an old, broken down, ugly man. And I saw Nicole, and Nicole's wishing she was me. All right? And I don't want to be that guy, but I'm that guy. It just, she looked old. That, because the beginning, she's, you know, it shows like she sent Isaac a whatever, a video thing, and I'm like, ugh. And I knew the twist. Like, I never played any of the original Dead Space, but I knew from things I have read and just picked up along the way and whatnot, that Nicole is dead. That's like the twist at the end. You go there trying to save her, but she's been dead the whole time. And, you know, I was kind of glad. I was kind of happy for Isaac, you know? Not a bad-looking guy, right? He could do better. Definitely younger, right? So, I don't know. That kind of stood out. Like, are they trying to make her look old? And then when they show her in the actual game, because you see her in like this holographic message shit. And then when they show her in the game, she looks even older and she looks even worse up close and personal, up close and purse. She looks worse. And that just kind of stood out. And I'm just saying, you know, Isaac, he's a space engineer. It's got to be a six-figure job. You know, you can get better than that. Come on, man. But anyway, that kind of was odd to me. And this drives me nuts because I hear this all the time, and I don't think people really understand. See, this... I hate that. This is one of my least favorite things in life. People will just parrot the same talking point without ever investigating it for themselves and really thinking about what's being said. Because more times than not, there's obvious glaring issues with said talking point. For example, this whole silent protagonist bullshit that people try to parrot it over, mimic it over and over and over. He's a silent protagonist, so they do that so that you can impose your personality onto the character. Bitch, it's your fucking job to present a character for me to play. All right? I realize that Dave is not in outer space fighting space zombies. Okay, I'm playing your game. This is your character. You tell me what they're like. That's okay. I can deal with it. I don't need a silent protagonist. That's lazy. That's incredibly lazy. And people make that fucking excuse for Ethan Winters in Resident Evil 7 and 8. And it's complete bullshit. You're just lazy and you don't feel like making a fucking character. So you just do, oh, it's Ethan Winters. What's his face look like? I don't know, man. He's just a fucking guy. Isn't that scary? Brr. Superimpose yourself in this. Like, ugh. It's so stupid. Anyway. So in the original Dead Space, Isaac never said anything. And in this one, he talks more. Which is cool. Like, give me this character. Cool. Give me a character so I can feel for him, right? And then, see, this kills me. This absolutely killed me. You get on this ship. Now, keep in mind the story. You go on a ship. Your wife works on this ship. She's a doctor. She's on this ship. And there's a problem. on the ship. You're an engineer. You fix ships all the time. This is kind of what you do. So you're going there and you're like, oh boy, I hope my wife's not in trouble. I mean, you know, it could be something minor, whatever. But there's something wrong on the ship and you're going to see your wife and it's exciting and blah, 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 blah. And then when you get there, it's attacked by demonic Satan monsters from outer space. All right. A little disconcerting. Okay. So you would think, knowing that your wife was on this ship that is absolutely filled to the fucking brim with space Draculas, that you'd be a little bit worried. You'd be a little bit, oh my God, I hope my wife's okay, right? Makes sense, doesn't it? So Isaac gets to his wife's office. Isaac's wife is not there, okay? But there's, like, to get to his wife's office, he's had to kill multiple demon monsters. All right. There's blood all over the walls. There's vomit and dookie smeared all over the walls. There's, you know, all these hideous mutated aborted fetuses running around. These fucking space zygotes with umbilical cord whip tentacle monsters, anime tentacle dick monsters flying all over the place. You know, you would really think Isaac would be like, oh my God, my wife is around here somewhere. The shit she must have gone through, right? So he finally gets to her office and he plays a like a holographic message of her or whatever. And it, so it shows her and she's, I don't know, whatever, sticking her, she's checking some guy's prostate or something. And in the video log, and this zero recollection. Isaac just stands there and watches. He does. It's like, my man, you haven't seen your wife in a while. You're all excited to see her on this little routine repair mission. Turns out to not be a routine repair mission. Turns out Satan monsters on the ship. Blood smeared on the walls. Bodies everywhere. You've already lost a guy that you came here with. You should probably, like, maybe, I don't know, you know, can I get a little, like, he reaches out to touch her holographic face, like, oh, Nicole, I hope you're okay, sweetie pie, I'm coming for you, baby, blah, 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 nothing. Or you could just sit there, no expression, no nothing, just stare at the scene. And you know what drives me fucking crazy? And keep in mind, this is the first time he goes to her office earlier, or like early on in the game, okay? Then, like 3/4 of the way through the game, he sees another hologram of Nicole, and then he reaches out to, like, touch her. And it's like, you would think the emotional, like, that's all I'm asking for. But why does it happen 10 hours into the game? It should be the first thing, like, what the fuck, what is happening here? My wife is involved in this. Oh my God. And he goes to her office and there's a framed picture of them together on her desk. Just nothing, no recollection. You know, he should have picked up the framed picture and just kind of stared at it, like, you know. And the whole everyman thing. See, here's what, this drives me fucking crazy. People say, oh, isn't it scarier where you're the everyman in this situation? The answer is no, if it has no direct effect on the game. And this is what I mean. How awesome would it be? Because Isaac's not a fucking, I was going to say samurai. I don't know why that just popped in. Isaac's not a trained soldier or a samurai. He's a squire at best. But he's an engineer. He fixes shit. He's a cosmic repairman. And I get it. Yeah, you're right. That's cool because you're not, you know, a trained officer or a trained soldier or whatever. So it's scarier when you're in that situation. But it's only scarier if you make it scarier. So in Dead Space or in Resident Evil 7 or whatever, where if you're just playing a regular working man, Ethan Winters, I work at a fucking gas station and that's all I do. And oh my God, all these zombies all over the place and all these mold monsters. I don't know what's going on. Then have it have an effect on the game. Like the first time you have to fight a space Satan monster, or the first time you have to fight a fucking toilet clogging mold monster in Resident Evil 7 or whatever. How about like the first time you get a gun and you're fighting one, your hands are shaking and it's like super hard to aim a shot because you're the targeting reticle on the screen is going fucking berserk. You know why? Because you're a space mechanic. Or you're just a regular guy and you're in a situation where you're not used to this sort of thing. So for the first, like, I don't know, hour maybe, the reticle, like, doesn't sit still and your hands shake and it makes the game harder until you kind of get used to it, right? And it'll stop eventually, obviously. But just for that first maybe hour or so, or the first couple of encounters where you're not just, like, you know, dual wielding two Uzis or whatever the fuck. Otherwise, the quote-unquote everyman motif is just kind of like it's one of those things that people say without really, and just say and agree to without ever realizing, oh, this gets kind of dumb because I'm a quote-unquote everyman who's just like not reacting at all to all this obviously insane shit happening. Like, you should be hyperventilating and breathing heavy. Your hand should be shaking. That is the game, the gameplay being affected by the quote unquote every man rule or whatever. And they never do that. And it's stupid. It's really, really stupid. Because all these reviews mimic the same point without even taking the time to do like a kitten kitty litter. Let's see what's going on under here. Dig around a little bit and see, you know, oh, wait, they could have done this and they could have done this. Not to just blather out the point, to elaborate on it and to show you in game why playing as an engineer or an everyman is different than playing as a trained soldier who's used to shooting people in the head. Right. But whatever. Long story short, the Dead Space remake, it was cool. It's fine. It's not my thing. When I go into games, I normally, I don't know, too big, too broad. I didn't feel connected to the universe or whatever. And if like a nameless planet in the middle of nowhere is taken over by space monsters, I'm fine with that. All right. There's plenty of other worlds. Go somewhere else. I don't know. So Dead Space Remake. Cool game. Very cool. Thumbs up. I enjoyed it. But as for me, it's a me thing. It's a flavor Dave thing. I didn't care. You know, Nicole was old. Nicole was gross. Isaac could do better. And I want him to do better. He's a good guy. You know, efficient. Good at his job. Nice guy. Deserves better, right? Deserves better. So this kind of irritated me. I gotta complain now about stuff. And I complain because I'm a bitch. All right. But so I don't know why. I got a real sudden urge to get Elden Ring. And I understand this is not the game for me because there's this genre of games, these like Dark Soul, Dark Bug, Bug Souls, Bloodborne, Blood Bugs, Blood Soul, Soul Blood, you know, it's like with these retarded fucking corny eighth grader names, you know. But there's a genre of game where apparently the entire point is to take 8 hours to figure out how to beat a boss and you just die over and over and over again. And it's some kind of weird, hostile, Saw, torture porn thing where you're just supposed to like just keep dying again and again and again. And then, you know, you can't get past like the menu, the pause menu is a boss and, you know, you die installing the game or whatever the fuck. Okay, man, whatever gets you hard, I guess, at the end of the day. I realize these type of games are not for me. There's a subsection of people in this earth who want to test themselves. They think they're very good at games. They want hard bosses and hard mechanics, and they want one-shot death things and whatnot. Okay. Excuse me. To each their own. Excuse me again. But I'm a baby. I'm a little baby girl. I just want somebody to tell me a nice story in video game form. I like that. It's good. You know? Anyone can take one look at my physique and know Dave does not like to test himself that much. All right? I like things nice and easy and nice and quiet. So games like this have never really particularly appealed to me. But for whatever reason, I lost my mind and decided to get Elden Ring. Now, I haven't played it yet. It's not even here yet. And that's what I want to talk about. I think for the most part, I just want it because, like I said earlier, like I explained, I'm working on a picture. I'm working on a painting of games in my little Series X collection. Okay? And I don't have any games like Elden. I don't have any of those, you know, super challenging games. I've never played one. So I'm kind of curious. Who knows? Maybe I'll like it. Maybe I'll actually get into it. Don't know. Never tried. And apparently Elden Ring, of all these like Dark Soul-ish type games, and I've listened to a bunch of reviews on it, so I'm pretty sure I know what I'm getting into. But the general consensus is, of all these types of games, if you're looking for one to get in on, Elden Ring is the one. Not that it's like easier, but it's more, I don't know, it's more, I don't want to say forgiving, but it's more user-friendly. I don't know. So I'm going to give it a shot. And you know me by now. I don't like to wait for anything. I need things immediately, okay? And I'm willing to pay for convenience, because what else is there to pay for besides sex? So, for some reason, Elden Ring has vanished off the face of the earth, and I can't find it anywhere. And before you say, well, Dave, just get it online and whatever, download it. No. I need physical discs. I need to have a physical copy. I need to possess things, because I have crippling mental illness. So I'm looking for a physical copy of the game. Can't find it. Can't find it anywhere. And God knows I'm not going to leave my house and search for it. So I went to Target.com. And Target.com said, Dave, we're running a sale. What do you want? Elden Ring? Series X? We got that shit. And guess what, Dave? We'll give it to you on sale for $53. And we'll get it to you in 2 days. Now, normally that's unacceptable. I need it that fucking day. I just do. I'm a very busy man. I got to go to sleep in a couple hours. All right? So I get the thing. They say, great. I buy it. They say, we're going to get it to you on March 19th. I ordered it on March 17th. And I thought, this is perfect, see, because I am a little baby girl, and I had like 2 days off concurrently at my job, and my birthday was on a Tuesday, so I had Sunday and Monday off, and then my birthday, which is today. So I was like, you know what? I got some personal days rattling around in my pocket. I'll take a personal day off work for my birthday. So a nice little 3-day weekend, right? Every now and again, it's nice. So I did that. And I was like, well, this works out perfectly. Because if I buy Elden Ring on the 17th and it arrives on the 19th, like Target promised me, I'll be able to play Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. and then my little pee-pee will work for a little bit. Okay? And that'll be nice. So I'm all excited. The 19th rolls around. Nothing. I go on Target. I check my account. It says, oh, label created. And that's like the last update, right? So they created a UPS label, whatever the fuck. The next day rolls around. Now it's the 20th. Now it's yesterday. Nothing. I go on and it says like delivery date, March 19th, label created. It's like, well, that's a lot. That's a bold-faced lie. Obviously. So long story short, now it's going to come tomorrow. That was the last update I got that it's coming tomorrow. Which that irritates me. It irritates the fuck out of me. Like part of the reason why I got it when I was very strategic about this. I had it all planned out. You promised. You told me. And if there's a problem with the shipping or whatever the fuck, or it's going to be a couple of days late, I shouldn't have to investigate. I shouldn't have to figure it out. You should just let me know. That irritates me. I could have been dying on the same boss for 3 days now. Hyperventilating in rage. And now I gotta wait till tomorrow. So fuck off. It's bullshit. Am I excited? I don't know. I'm probably... These games are not for me. I don't like a challenge. I'm challenged enough. Look at me. Every single day, crawling out of bed is a boss fight for me, okay? Anyway. My video game hijinks don't stop there. Because I picked up what has to be my favorite game in a really, really super duper long time. And maybe this will change in a couple of days when Resident Evil 4 Remake comes out. And I'm just laying in a pool of my own jizz. But I'm here to tell you. You may laugh at me. And I don't care. Because I'm going to tell it like it. I'm going to tell it like I know it. I am having so much fun playing Hogwarts Legacy. It's an unbelievable amount of fun. Hogwarts Legacy is the shit, and I'm not afraid to say it. Do you mean to tell me that I can have a video game where I get to play dress up with a schoolgirl witch? Is that what you're trying to tell this half-drunk man right now?
Dave, okay, look, that's disgusting, man.
Why is it disgusting, Count?
You play as like a child.
You're a fifth year, Count. That's like 15 to 16. That's got to be legal somewhere. Jesus. Why are you such a prude? What's the age of consent in ancient Romania? Now, before I was so crudely interrupted, I'm sorry, excuse me. Excuse my excitable friend here. Hogwarts Legacy does things that I like. Because my biggest concern with games like this, based on huge intellectual properties, is that all it is fan service to established characters. I hate established characters. To me, the highest pinnacle of creative achievement is to have a game. Well, hold on. Let me. I have a feeling I'm going to be talking for a bit. So let me save this because I've been going for a while. I'm going to save this real quick. Hold on. Okay. Sorry. So in my mind, the pinnacle of creative achievement is making a world that is easy to inhabit with original characters, right? So like Star Wars is a good example, or Star Trek is a good example. You could play like a Star Trek role-playing game that has nothing to do with the Starship Enterprise. You can make up your own ship, your own crew, blah, blah, blah. Have fun. Like, here's the universe. Here's all the pieces that you need, or here's the world, or here's the setting. And you can insert your own original ideas, your own original stuff. There's so much to work with, so many creative tools to use and to kind of make your own. To me, that's crazy impressive. And that is as good as it gets, creatively speaking, you see. And that's what Hogwarts Legacy does. It's not like you're playing as Harry Potter's best pal. There are, like, the established characters aren't there because the game takes place in, like, 1890-something, right? So nobody's born yet. That's in the movies. The setting and your character and your character's actions take center stage. The game is about you set in this world, which is how it should be. Which is every single thing that Cyberpunk 2077 did wrong. Because Cyberpunk 2077 isn't about your character and what you're up to. It's about Johnny Silverhand. And oh my God, how cool is Keanu Reeves? Am I right? Am I right on that? Oh, he's so cool. I wish I was just like him. I'm going to let him possess my body with this cyber ghost or whatever. Let's just go do quests that have to do with him and do stuff about how awesome this guy is. Because you're a fuckface. Who cares about you and your character? Really, this is just a giant hand job to this character with him spooging on your face for the entire fucking game. Oh my God, I wish I was cool like him. Oh, look, I'm going to wear his clothes because I'm so fucking stupid that this game should really be about him. And if that's the case, guys, then just make the fucking game about him and just let the characters play as him because that's really what you want to do. But I'm so pleased to report that that's not at all the case with Hogwarts Legacy. You make your own character. You pick, you know, the transmogrification system is fucking incredible. It's awesome. It's easy. You can look however you like. If you find a, like a scarf or whatever, like, everything you loot, you have the graphic for. So you can just make anything look how you want. Like you can pick, even if you can wear gear, but then pick the appearance over it from anything else you've collected along your way. It's really, really easy to do. It doesn't cost you money or anything. It's not like Warcraft transfiguration stuff. I would have liked that. They should have had a an option where you could like save outfits. Just so you don't have to do it manually every single time you get a new piece of gear. That's a little bit annoying. But again, that easy fix for that. A complaint I've heard a lot of people say about Legacy is that it's overly simplistic as far as like stats. You know, really, you only have like offense and defense. Really, that's it. But I look at it a little bit different. Guys, it's a fucking Harry Potter game. Like this is a kid's game. And the fact that people are like doing videos on builds and, you know, like different kind of spell combinations. And, like I heard one guy, he was doing a review on this game and he was like, look, Hogwarts Legacy is cool, but it's really, really shallow in a lot of aspects. It's like a big pool, but it's kind of shallow, which, you know, that's a fair criticism. But he went on to say like they have a potion system. They have like an item an item enchantment system. They have a ton of systems in this game, but they're not very deep. And that's true. That's a fair assessment of the game. This kid's game about wizards and witches flying around on brooms. Yeah, you're right. It's not deep and it's not ultra complicated. You know the fuck why? Because you're playing a Harry Potter game at the end of the day. Yeah, this is for kids and stuff. So to me, he said, he compared it to The Witcher. He was like, the potion system in Harry Potter is okay, but, you know, in The Witcher, their potion system is top notch and you could do this, 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 and this. And it's like, my man, do you realize you just compared Hogwarts to The Witcher? That in itself tells me this game fucking rules, that you just made that comparison for a children's game. So yes, Hogwarts Legacy is extremely like casual friendly. You know, you don't need to be a crazy into games like this to enjoy yourself and have a good time. The combat is so much fun. The combat is it's really, really all around a lovely game. I think they set a really awesome foundation, and I do hope. I mean, they'd be leaving so much silly money on the table by not building off of this and doing downloadable content and expansions and blah, 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 and all this stuff. Because there's so much there that true isn't like completely in depth, super crazy deep, but it's deep enough to satisfy you. It's like, oh, that's a nice option that they have that in this game. Wow, that's, to me, it was very, very impressive and a really nice rock solid foundation to build off of in the future. Like, I can't recommend Hogwarts Legacy enough. I know it sounds silly, but it's awesome. It's so, so cool. The it looks awesome. Some of the scenes, and I don't know what a vista is, but I want to use that word. It just sounds right. So, you know, some of the vistas are super pretty, and it's awesome. It's a great game. I'm having a blast with it. I've already beaten it. I beat the main story. I have three characters in it. One, because I made a Ravenclaw and got them to like level 20, 24, I want to say. And I played completely wrong. Like, I was just doing all side quests and stuff, because that's normally how I take games like this. I'll clean up a lot of the side quests before I make progress on the main quest. But in Legacy, you want to do the main quest because you'll get a bunch of stuff that makes your other exploring much easier. Because if you just do the side quests, you'll see a lot of puzzles that you won't be able to solve because you don't have the adequate spells or whatnot. So I would suggest, if you're out there and you're playing Legacy, a little pointer for you. Play up until you get the unlocking spell, so you could unlock locks on chests and stuff like that, because a lot of the doors and chests and whatnot will have magic locks on them. And if you don't have the Alohomora spell, you won't be able to open them. So what I do is play the main quests until you get the Alohomora spell. Then as soon as you can start unlocking shit, because there are three different levels of the unlocking spell, which opens more locks, like level 2 locks and level 3 locks. So once you have access to Alohomora, find all the fucking demigod statues. I know it's boring. I know it sucks. You got to do it only at night. But just zoom the clock forward if it's daytime. Look for guides online. They'll tell you like all the locations of the demigod statues. Find them all. Get Alohomora level 3 as soon as humanly possible. It's going to take a bit, I know, but trust me, it's worth it. You got to get what? You got to find like 21 demigod statues or whatever. It's just a little time consuming. It's kind of annoying, but trust me, it's worth it. Because then, once you get that out of the way, whenever you go anywhere, you can open anything. So I know you're going to be tempted to do side quests or whatever the fuck. Just trust me on this. Just go hard on the main quest until you get the Room of Requirement, until you get Alohomora. And then once you get the unlocking spell, do all three levels at once. Just don't just grin and bear it. Put your head down and run straight through. Get all the Demogeist statues and then have Alohomora 3 and then just do whatever you want. Because anywhere you go, you'll be able to solve any quest, open any chest, open any lock. And that, my friends, is my precious advice. Now that I'm 43, I'm very old, I'm very wise, even more so than last year. My gift to you. Thank you. I have to get more alcohol, so I'll be right back. I gotta go. I gotta go get some drinkies, so I'll be back. All right, and we're back.
Oh, Dave.
Yes, Count Dracula.
Did you learn any of the unforgivable spells, any of the dark magic spells in your Hogwarts game?
Oh, you goddamn right I did, man. Yeah, fuck yeah. Oh, here, cheers, Count.
Oh, cheers, Dave.
So yeah, in Hogwarts you could do like dark wizard stuff. There's three dark wizard spells, and there's like a talent tree you could spec into. With my first character, I don't think I'm going to get into the dark arts. I don't think I'm going to take them. They're really powerful and they're very cool. The dark magic spells. So my first on my Ravenclaw, they're not gonna take any of them because you have like an option whether you learn the evil magic or not. There's no effects in game per se if you choose not to or you choose to. So on my Ravenclaw, I'm probably not going to. On my Slytherin, absolutely. He learned like every dark magic spell you could. And they're pretty fun. And I made a Hufflepuff also. But for my Hufflepuff, I want to go plants. Like really kind of see, get into the plants because I don't really use them too much. So it'd be kind of cool to have a character who like specializes in just like throwing like the plants and stuff like that. Cause you could throw combat plants out there and you could like spec into some of the plant stuff, which is neat. And there's like a special trait for extra plant based damage. I don't know, just something different. You know, it sounds fun, but, yeah, man, I'm enjoying it. I think they have to, they should really do some kind of respec thing because you get a talent points and there are different like talent trees and stuff like that. And, currently as of this recording, there's no way to respec. So if you take something, you better be sure you want it because there's no going back. And it kind of sucks because you might take something and then you find out that you don't really use it that much. Or you'll get a spell, you'll get a new spell and you'll use that instead of, you know, what you kind of focused in on your talents. So your game, the way you fight can change depending on the spells you learn. So I would suggest kind of taking basic shit and don't really worry about your quote unquote build until you hit like max level where you know. At least until you have all the spells. Play with all the spells before you start spending talent points because you don't want to take stuff and regret it later because there's no way as of now to change it. I would think they would do something where it was like, you know, just put a fucking respec potion in the game for, I don't know, 10,000 galleons. You know, that's a lot of money. You don't want to make it easy to do or whatever. So yeah, I would assume sooner or later they'll do some kind of DLC where you can respec, but as of now you can't. So choose wisely and be sure you want. Like on all my characters, I have talent points left over because I'm worried. So I beat the main story on my Slytherin character, who's currently like level 35 or something like that. The max is 40, so he's level 35. And he probably has like 9 talent points that I haven't spent yet, because I kind of want to max him out before I permanently decide what I want to do, because I go back and forth trying different spell combinations and stuff like that. So anyway,
Legacy's cool. It's great.
We're talking about, a fucking kids game, and it's pretty awesome. I think it's pretty, pretty neat. You can, get a broom and fly wherever you want to, and it's really, really nice looking. Cool game. Cool game. Good, good stuff. But let's be honest. Fucking main event. We're here to talk about Resident Evil 4 Remake. I mean, comes out in a scant few days. I haven't watched any reviews on it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know anything. I watched, I think, like one trailer a couple months ago. And I have to say, look, Resident Evil 4 is a very special game to me. And in Resident Evil 4, there's Ashley. And she's so cute. And her little outfit is just adorable. A little sweater wrapped around. Oh my God. I just want to grab it. I just want to choke the shit out of her. I want to hang her with that fucking sweater. It's so hot. Anyway. Fan fiction aside. When I saw the new character model for Ashley, I got to be me. I don't like it. She looks older,
Well, Dave, actually, that makes sense that you wouldn't like it, because as we clearly know from your love of Hogwarts, you like the children.
Dracula, don't make this smutty. I'm correct when I say that the new character model for Ashley, she looks older and not in a good way. And I, you know what? I realize now something I never knew. I was talking with somebody about this, and they pointed out something that I had never, ever considered, and it makes so much goddamn sense. You would think I would like the new Ashley design more, because her hair is more kind of the way I like it. I like girls with that kind of particular hairstyle, it's just a thing of mine. But for this character, I prefer the other model. And it's because her ears. In the original Resident Evil 4, Ashley's ears are so fucking cute. And in the new remake, her ears are covered up. And she just looks older. And she doesn't have the same outfit. They put on some fucking jacket over her. Like, don't do it. Don't cover up things. What are you doing? Who do you think you are? Don't touch that. But the original Ashley model in Resident Evil 4 for GameCube, she had these big, adorable ears. Kind of jutted out a little bit. She was adorable. I've never said this in my life. I want to put her whole entire ear in my mouth. I just want to suck on her ears. I give such good ear. It's ridiculous. I think I'm an earophile. A lobophile, if you will. And it just added to her adorability in the previous game. And now she looks like a 27-year-old soccer mom. But don't like it. I think it's a change for the worse. I don't know what her voice sounds like. And again, maybe it'll be different when you see her moving around and stuff like that. But I just think her and Leon look too similar. Their hair looks too similar in style now. And I think it's a bad move. I think it's a bad design choice. My little teeny tiny maggot-like erection aside, it's just a bad design choice to have two characters in the same game look so similar. But I'm excited about the remake, and I think I'm excited because I did it right. You know? In this modern era, in this day and age, you can follow a game from its concept designs to its release. Okay? Every single idea about the game, every single thing they're going to add, every single thing they're going to take away. And it builds anticipation. And there's no way that that finished product could live up to what's going on in your sick little head. Because that's not how reality works. But if you know a game's coming out and you just say, okay, I'll play it when it's done. I'll check it out when it's done. I'm not going to read all the features and I'm not going to follow the developers on Twitter and I'm not going to look at every new development every single day, every single hour for 5 years. And Cyberpunk is the perfect example of this. Because you had a bunch of very, very upset people. And they said, I've been following this game for 7 years. They announced this game 8 years ago, and I've been glued to their Twitter profile. I've seen every single thing, every single demo, every single blah, blah, blah for 8 years, and this game fucking sucks, and I'm mad. Boo. Well, yeah, man. You know, you're going to be disappointed no matter what if you follow anything since the second they announce it, because you're just setting yourself up to be disappointed. Just say, hey, it'll come out. I'll play it when it comes out. How about that? And I'll tell you all about it when it comes out. I think that's a good way to look at things. I think that's a good way to live life. You gotta take life as it comes. You gotta grab life by the shoulders. You gotta put its fucking adorable ears directly in your mouth and you gotta suck them lobes. All right? You gotta take one for the team. Slurp that lobe. Deep lobe it. Okay? Don't cover it up. Don't cover up them ears. So when I do get Resident Evil 4, and I am going to get it, obviously, when I do play Resident Evil 4, it's going to be a complete surprise. Maybe it'll be great. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe it'll just be okay. Maybe it'll suck. I don't know. I'm going in pretty much blind. And it's fun that way. And if I'm disappointed, I'm disappointed. And if I'm utterly thrilled and over the moon, that's fine too. As long as I get off, I don't really care. And in life, isn't that the only thing that matters?